is your name? How great is your name through all the earth? How great is your name? Great is your name. How great is your name?
Hello, my friend. It's so good to be with you again. And as I sit here, the sun has just opened up, broken through a cloud. Oh, no, it opened up a while ago, of course. Isn't it so much about perception? I could say it that way as if it were true, and yet the wonder is this. Sun has been with us for a long time, whether we've seen it or not. Whether clouds or other things have obscured our ability to see. We're celebrating right now this day, so I welcome you wherever you are and whenever you take time with us here. Greg and I and others just delight in times like this, and Greg and his thoughtfulness in assembling these podcasts for us. And we settle into that deeper listening, letting things be brand new as we hear them, just like seeing the sun invites me to see it anew. I was thinking a few moments ago when I was thinking about our time together, about the fun of a child. We had fun. Most children do, thank God, and for those in the world who aren't, we hold them here. Part of childhood is having fun, being free, finding freedom, and one of the ways was to do somersaults. Somersaults are just a delightful experience, rolling down a hill and rolling around. And then when you try to stand up, at least for me, I remember being very dizzy in the first few moments, not sure which way was up, which way was down, where was the ground, and where was the sky. One could say I was disoriented, or that I was finding again true and deep, up and out and around orientation. That I and you, when we somersault in life, are risk to, or are right now feeling that, and it can be terribly disturbing, especially if it continues to go on for a while. There's no up or down, or right or wrong, or in or out. And then we pause. We take time like this that is thoughtful, but more than that, restful. And we let go of our thoughts, and especially thoughts that have become categories. Not that there isn't something of the truth, that there is right and wrong. But I believe that's become a tyranny in most of our lives, and a lot of us feel that religious organizations have done that to us. And yet, ironically, I know from walking as a Christian, as a Franciscan, as the blessing of one who celebrates sacraments with others, that at the core of this is the one who makes all things right, who is the orientation, who is the sun, who calls us home, who shapes and transforms us right now. And so at the core of practice is this somersaulting uncertainty of which way is up. And we turn ourselves over. On the Feast of Francis, we hear a passage from Galatians, and it's the closing of this very beautiful letter, we call it, from Paul, where he says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, and to the Israel of God. For now, let no one make troubles for me, for I bear the marks of Christ on my body. The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, brothers and sisters. Amen." Here in Paul is a dramatic summary that comes from his reflections, if you wish to follow them, from his second letter to the community in Corinth, where he opens up an understanding of this, what we call eschatology, the great journey of all of creation home to God. The eschaton, the cosmic overwhelming newness that has come through the reordering of everything through the cross. of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, who was really caught up in being very correct, very right about religion, helps us here now with not only speaking of circumcision or uncircumcision, but saying religious practices pale, they go away in light of a new creation. One commentator says that here Paul puts aside all religious differentiation. For those of us of any creed, that isn't then that our creed is placed aside. And for those of us who are Christian, it isn't that Christ is now placed aside or diminished by some new order. No, Christ is the new order, the new cosmic center, core, dynamic, blazing Son of God that is always here and seems to reappear, but that's our ability or inability to see. It's fun. G.K. Chesterton talked about St. Francis as someone who it seemed as if he saw the world while standing on his head. Now, that's even more challenging than somersaulting. Rolling down a hill and trying to stand up, or still being laying there because you can't. But standing on our heads, we grasp the fact that the world order seems to shift when we see it differently. And then the seeming is real when we stand in Christ. When we begin to welcome Christ, to turn our lives over. When we turn our lives over to Christ. When we enter into silence, and you might even say, I have a difficulty naming Christ as that core. Then I'd say, enter the core that is authentically your core now. And in that core, I think you'll find, and I do now, what we all find, the cross. It literally takes us apart and forms us anew, wedding us with God in the convergence of a God who has come among us, a spirit life, a holy mountain, a child, Jesus, who invites us into a walk that comes to a cross but is not static. It's a convergence of all that is and all that will be new. New again, new for the first time. That all things might be new. Paul is feeling the drama of this in his life, and he talks in various places in strong contrasts of what things were like and are like. You and I talk about transformation a great deal these days. Sometimes I think as if it's something we can control. Something we can get, like other things on the market. Rather, it's like the sun that shone itself today, or was already shining. That transformation that's available to us in the life and love of Christ God, abiding now in everything that feels like a cross, that is indeed one, that would bring about transformation, because you and I, my sister and brother, are all called to the new cosmic reality, the intimacy of God's love for us, the mercy and compassion of the new creation. Too many thoughts. One image or another may have touched your heart. Or you may just want a somersault. Or try standing on your head. Or sitting where you are, knowing that things are so wonderfully disordered, better said, reordered in Christ in the midst of disorder, that it takes a while of sitting, of quiet, or walking, or swimming, or resting, dreaming, that we might walk through the door of new life, sit upon the throne with the Son of Light, be at the banquet table of this new time, and with a clear call away from anything that's divisive, because all of this is unitive, we would no longer find religion differentiating and dividing, but in all true paths converging to the new creation. For those of us who are Christians, we proclaim that all things are made new in Jesus Christ. My friends, the peace of St. Francis, who we celebrate today, and the peace of Christ, and the peace of living waters, and the peace of this breath, and of this sun, that brings light to our hearts and to our world.
Great is your name, how great is your name through all the earth, how great is your name. Great is your name, how great is your name through all the earth,
how great is your name. Great is your name, how great is your name through all the earth, how great is your name. Great is your name, how great is your name through all the earth.
Your majesty is praised above the heavens,
great is your name. Great is your name
on the lips of all the children and the babies.
Great is your name through all the earth.
You found praise to foil all your enemies.
Great is your name. Great is your name
to silence every foe and every rebel.
Great is your name through all